If everyone received an outline that would like one, if you didn't, are they still, I think they're still available on the stand, yeah. On the stand in the back. We're going through the book of Philippians on Sunday evening, and we're on in chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. So the Bibles, if you have Bibles in your pews, if you want to follow along as I read the text first and then begin to make the comments. You have, I've given you the outline, just in the gist of my notes. I didn't give you everything that I have written down, but hopefully it'll help you to follow along. You know, I try to leave enough margin or spaces so you can make your, add some notes if that's what you would like to do. So Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12, is where we are this evening. So Paul begins, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Begins the text for our lesson this evening in verse 12 with the word "therefore." You know my phrase. Anytime you see Paul saying the word "therefore," stop and see what it's there for. it has connect with what was been said previously. So in the previous notes, Christ was said in verse 8, obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So even as Jesus was obedient, so we must be obedient in Christian living. Now it's interesting, and remember, Paul is addressing this letter, said in chapter 1, verse 1, to all the saints who are in Philippi. So he's speaking to the church, to Christians, to brethren, those who've already obeyed the gospel. He's speaking to, and I'll use different synonyms here, the saved. And so now discipline of obedience is to be practiced in the lives of those who call themselves Christians. So he's not addressing his audience on how to become a Christian. They're already Christians. He's saying, this is how I want you to live. And so that's the text. He also mentions in that opening verse, as you've always obeyed. Those are encouraging words to say, don't stop now. Stay on God's side. And then he puts an aside, or it seemed like an aside to me, as not in my presence only. I don't have these phrases in your notes. I didn't want you to have three pages of notes. But he says, not in my presence only. He said that in chapter 1, verse 21. Now he says it again. He says, it seems like he's pointing out, you know, when eyes are upon us, we mind our manners. When others are watching us, we behave differently. You know, in Proverbs 15, verse 3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. So really, we're always being watched. So I guess the watchword is, mind your manners, or our manners. Then he says, and much more in my absence. So he says, keep it up, even if I'm not there to coach you in Christian living. Now, give more attention than ever to the obedience involved in maintaining salvation. What do you say? So then the first phrase is, in the text that I have in your note, I put, I will do my part. You can see point number 2, God will do His part. So the first phrase in verse 12 is work out your own salvation. It doesn't say work for your salvation. It said work out. has a special meaning. It means if you're going to work out something, you're going to work something through to its completion. So he says, work out your salvation. So it's something that we need to do. There's a behavior that we are to exhibit. It means to, if you're going to work out something, you're going to carry it out to the goal. You're going to see it to its end. You know, in first, and I didn't put all of these in your notes, but 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. So after we become Christians, there's a faithfulness that should be characteristic of us. In Revelation 2, verse 10, be faithful till death. So even again, after we become Christians, faithfulness is required. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, Paul, concluding his life, he says, you know, the time of my departure is close by, it's at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. See, so there's something that needs to be part of us as we live our Christian life. Jesus said it himself in John 8, verse 31. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So Jesus had a following, and he turns to those who would follow him, and he says, oh, if you want to continue to be my disciples, you'll have to abide in my word. There's continuing faithfulness that's required on our part. Work out your own salvation. So your own. No one can do it for you. I can live the Christian life, but you can't. I can't live it for you. I can strive to be faithful and encourage you to be faithful. But I have to live faithfully myself. In other words, it's individual responsibility. And you and I will be held accountable for its completion. And then he says to live that kind of life with fear and trembling. Phillips' translation said with proper sense of respect and responsibility. I kind of thought to myself, I want to be afraid to miss heaven. With fear and trembling. Be afraid to miss out on eternal life. It's interesting too. Put in your notes. I've noticed in several verses where the doctrine of salvation apart from works is found. We know those verses. It doesn't say work for your salvation. Work it out. But also the doctrine of salvation unto good works is found many times in the same text. Right together. Both thoughts. Salvation apart from works and salvation unto good works. Here's the first one, Ephesians 2, verse 8, and you're very familiar with it. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Ephesians 2, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, we want to say, well, what is it? It's not of works. But we should walk in these works that God's prepared. Which is it? Well, it's both. We have salvation apart from works and salvation unto good works. Now in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the grace of God that brings salvation. Oh, that's right. God's grace brought salvation, it's appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, oh, there's a way that I have to live. I want to say thank you for amazing grace. Oh, but there's a requirement on my part. God's word continues to teach me that I need, as Titus says, deny ungodliness, live soberly, righteously, and godly, zealous of good works. But God's grace delivered me salvation. And now I'm supposed to be zealous of good works? Yeah. See, both thoughts are in the same text. Grace and works. Unto good works. That God has designed. In Titus 3, verse 4. When the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy, he saved us Wow. Mercy and salvation. God saved us. But in verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God, that's the Christians, those who have been saved, should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable. In the same text, he mentions mercy, salvation, and then we who have believed should maintain good works. In the same text. In Hebrews 6, verse 9, or beginning of verse 9, beloved, we're confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Oh, there's things that accompany salvation. That's a biblical term. And then he mentions that God's not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you've shown toward his name, in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. Oh, so I thank you, God, for salvation. But now I need to minister to the saints. That's what the Hebrew writer said. And God's not will not forget my work and labor of love. And then the Hebrew writer says, and each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Oh, so I can't just say thank you, God, for your amazing grace and mercy and salvation and just wipe my hands and go my merry way. So I just put in your notes here some things to help you work out your salvation. And you can see that list, but I'm looking at the clock, so you can read those for yourself. Work it out, brethren. The next section, point number 2 in your notes, is God will do his part. In verse 13, for it is God who works in you. So while I am working out my salvation, God is working in. See, there's two workers. You see that in the text? There's two workers. Work out, and God works in. So it's a human-divine cooperative. God accomplishes our salvation by grace, and that's all him. God didn't ask me for counsel on mercy and grace. I didn't advise God. God sending his son, that's a heavenly plan. Not me. It's all on him. But then he gives us responsibility to respond with steadfastness and being created for his workmen, or his workmanship, created unto good works. It's interesting, these same phrases, where work out and God works in. Peter said, you know, in 1 Peter, add to your faith, or 2 Peter chapter 1, add to your faith. But just before that, in verse 3, he says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, which is it? God has given us all. I mean, that nothing's excluded. All things that pertain to life and godliness. But then he says, now add to your faith. See, so I need to work out, and God's going to work in. In Philippians 4, verse 13, in a couple chapters, we'll get to this. Paul says, I can do all things, but it's through Christ who strengthens me. See, work it. Paul works it out. God works in us. In Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, brethren, be strong. Yeah, but it's in the Lord and the power of his might. God works in. Put on. Oh, now I have to do something. Put on the whole armor of God. So you see the salvation. For it's God who works in you. Two workers. One of my favorite illustrations of this kind of cooperation, you know, between God and us. Story of a farmer who was once visited by a preacher. Preacher surveyed the farm for the first time and he said, you know, Farmer John, this is a great farm that you and God have. So Farmer John said, thank you, but you should have seen it when God had it all by himself. Now, there's no disrespect. Farmer's acknowledging the way God works through us. God will not do for us what we should be doing ourselves. our responsibility. Work out your own salvation. And so as we cooperate with Him, we can see the possibilities realized in our life. Then He says both to will and to do for His good pleasure. That's right. And again, these two verses come together of the idea of work out and work in. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. There's God's grace again. That phrase. And His grace toward me was not in vain. In other words, I responded. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. So the grace, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I labored, but it's the grace of God which was in me. But I still had to labor. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5, Paul said, well, who then is Paul? Who's Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed. As the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. See the two? We work out, God works in. Then Paul continues, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward. That's right, work it out yourself, your own salvation. According to his own labor, for we are, and here's an interesting phrase in the text, in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 9, we are God's fellow workers. So we work out, God works in. For his good pleasure. So to carry out His gracious purpose, to accomplish His pleasure. Then there's the last admonition. Do all things concerning salvation. Again, our part. Work out your own salvation. So He said, when we are working out our salvation and doing these things, we are to do it without murmuring and complaining. Not just putting your notes, some people do good in the worst way. Oh yeah, that you're doing good, but boy, the manner in which you did it. Oh, wow. You almost like to say, I helped Don out with something, then I come back and says, you know what Don asked me to do for him? I did it, but man, I had to go to his house, and I had to do this, and he sent me way over here, and now you're grumbling, complaining about the good deed that you did. Did you do a good deed? Sure did. I have to hold down now. But I did it in the worst way. I mumbled and complained about doing a good deed. Yeah, some people, Paul said, don't do that. And then he gives the reason in the rest of our text. Why are we to do it without murmuring and complaining? That you may become blameless and harmless. So live in such a manner that no one can point an accusing finger. Do it. Do a good deed, yes. Don't murmur and complain. Look at what I had to do today for my brethren. Harmless? You'll live above reproach, so before believers and unbelievers. Live with integrity. I saw this article in a bulletin just recently, a church bulletin, so I just taped it to my notes here. And it's titled, this little thing, What's in My Cup? I might just let you read the rest of those. It says, What's in My Cup? You're holding up your cup of coffee when someone bumps into your arm, making you spill your coffee. Why did you spill your coffee? Someone said, well, because someone bumped into my arm. Wrong answer. You spilled your coffee because there was coffee in your cup. Had there been tea in the cup, you would have spilled tea. Whatever is in the cup will spill out. Therefore, and he makes the application, when life comes along and shakes you, which will happen, whatever is inside you will come out. I can understand that. What came out of the cup? Well, whatever was in it. So someone shakes me. What's going to come out? It's easy to fake it until you get rattled. And my coffee stays in there as long as it's a smooth walk. But I just got bumped. When life gets tough, what spills out? Is there joy, gentleness, peace, love, anger, bitterness, harsh words? Life produces the cup. We choose how to fill it. So today, let's work toward filling our cup with gratitude, forgiveness, joy, words of encouragement, kindness, gentleness, and love. So we have questions. What's in your cup? What's in your cup? And when we get rattled or bumped, what's in our cup is going to come out. So Paul says, do all things without murmuring, that you may be blameless. Children of God without fault. Don't be law-abiding. Do what God says. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Ah, yes, so people watch us. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Yeah. Oh, we know that song we sang as, we sing as children, you know, this little light of mine. You know, let it shine, hold our finger up all around the neighborhood. At work, at school, at play, let your light shine. Don't cover it up. Let my light shine. You shine as lights in the world. In Ephesians 5, verse 7, therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Then hold fast the word of life. You'll keep it. Share it. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Hug it. Keep it. Lock it up in your heart. Hold fast the word of God. That word of faith. Word of life. The phrases. Then the last thing he says in closing, in verse 16, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. In other words, he says, I hope I haven't run my course for nothing. Hope I haven't toiled for nothing. So he's giving them this complete letter, which we just looked at a few verses tonight. But he's telling them how to maintain their salvation. He says, I hope I haven't labored in vain. I hope, brethren in Philippi, I hope you've taken this message to heart. And in next Sunday night's lesson, Lord willing, we're going to find out about Timothy and Epaphroditus. And Paul himself, and their relationship with that church in Philippi, and how they ministered back and forth to each other. So he's giving them these words of encouragement. And I just put in your notes at the very bottom, you know, in 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And that's what Paul is saying to these brethren in Philippi. Epaphroditus has told me about you. I'm going to send Timothy and Epaphroditus back in next week's lesson. I want to hear good things. I want to hear that my children or the brethren there in Philippi are walking in the truth. Isn't that what we want too? Even as parents with our children, I want to hear that my children are doing well. I want to hear that they're on God's side. No greater joy. That's what Paul says in verse 16. That I may rejoice. I want to rejoice. But take the message, take the word of God to heart. Apply it to your life. Live it through to the end. That's the lesson we have this evening. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If you're even not a member of the New Testament church, you want to ask brother for strength or encouragement or for prayers, if there's something on your mind that you want to share while we are here gathered to pray with you or pray for you, we can certainly accomplish that. If you've never been baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that. You just need to let your request be made known. If that's your desire, that's your resolve, we sing this song. Time to reflect on that relationship you have with God. If there's something missing that you want to take care of tonight, we can certainly, as we say, we can do that. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Dennis has selected for us.